Great. Thank you, Rachel. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming to the 8:30 session on the very last day of the APHA. Hope you've had a good experience while being here. My name is Ronnie Saxena. Manjusha is my formal given name, but I go by Ronnie. It's a lot easier for people to pronounce. I'm at the Mid-America Center for Public Health Practice at the UIC School of Public Health, and we're a unique practice-based center housed at the School of Public Health at UIC, and we link academia to practice. So this project actually came out of a HRSA-funded public health training center, which is in a different iteration right now, but we just finished year three of this project, so we'll talk about that. I will actually be presenting a few short slides, and then I'll bring up two other collaborators with us on this project. We'll have Dr. Shirley Fleming here, Reverend Dr. Shirley Fleming from the Center for Faith and Community Health Transformation. We'll give you a little background, as well as we wanted to highlight one of our successful projects that came out of this institute, and we have Kyle Oman from the Winnebago County Health Department in Rockford, Illinois, who'll talk about the project that they enacted last year as part of participating in the institute. I wanted to start off by giving you a kind of a glimpse, introductory video of our institute. So let's hope technology works and this works. Actually created as part of a marketing tool that we wanted when we went from year one, our pilot year, to pilot to year two, and so we used it as a way of recruiting people to join the institute. So today what we're going to talk about as part of this institute, give you a little background on the institute development and history, its mission and goals, why did we create this institute, some of the key elements of the institute, the evaluations that we've done from year one to year three, and then of course the Rockford story that we wanted to share with you all. So it was initially launched in 2012 as part of a joint partnership between our center, Mid-America Center of Public Health Practice, and the Center for Faith and Community Health Transformation. We knew we wanted to do something to bring awareness around this collaboration of faith and public health. As most of you know, faith and public health collaborations generally tend to be one-time events. We go into churches, mosques, and do health fairs or flu vaccinations or H1N1, but we really wanted to bring an institute where faith leaders and public health leaders could come together and really understand each other's perspective when we talk about social justice and faith and in public health and in faith. And when we have a better understanding of each other's perspectives, the collaboration won't be a one-time event, and it will be more of a collaboration that goes beyond one health fair or whatever it is this issue. As you can see, this is a big group of us got together to put this program together, and all of us have been involved in it at some capacity. People have been going in and out, but this is a good core that's been with us as we move from year to year and tweaking, implementing. We brought on some new folks to deliver some of the trainings. Here's a good capture of us. We also bring that interfaith component to our group, so we're very excited about that. And so what is the Institute mission and goals? really what we wanted to do when we created this institute was to create and strengthen partnerships between faith and public health. We wanted to be a longing partnership and not, you know, a one-time event. And the goal is really to enhance the capacity of faith and public health leaders to work effectively to eliminate health inequities and health disparities in communities. So what we do is we try to identify root causes of what are the root causes that are affecting a community. What is the health the root cause of the health inequity affecting the community? We also, our goal is to recognize the assets that we bring in from us as public health leaders. What are the assets we bring as a profession to do this work around eliminating health inequity? And what are the assets that faith communities bring, faith institutions bring to eliminate health inequities? When we understand each other's perspective, we may be, you know, we may have different language for what we're saying, but we're actually saying the same thing. And mobilizing the strengths of each entity, faith and public health coming together, it's a stronger partnership if the two work together. And again, our biggest goal of the institute is looking everything through the lens of health equity and health inequity. How do we eliminate health inequity, and how do we go into health equity? So now I'd like to bring up Dr. Reverend Shirley Fleming, who could give you a little bit more. She wears both hats, public health and a reverend hat, faith hat, so she can explain more about the history.
Thank you, Ronnie. And I'm really glad to see people up at 8:30 in the morning. So we'll tell you a little bit about why faith in public health. It may seem obvious, but we share a common history. If we look back historically, some of the first healers in our community were people of faith. They were not two disciplines, and so we do share that common history. We also share a common interest in health and social justice. When we look at the texts and the sacred scriptures of the various traditions, every one of them address the issue of social justice, as well as being careful about your neighbors, to be concerned about your neighbors and their well-being, and so we have that common interest. The current approaches of public health, and this is my perspective, I think that they are limited. We have made great progress over the length of our life as a professional organization and workers who are committed to serving, but people are whole individuals. We have generally not seen faith as a partner. Within the last 20-something years, there's been an increased interest, but we come to the world as whole people, and so we need to address the whole individual. We also believe that people of faith and that partnership together has the power to transform and to sustain beyond our granting period. We want you to also understand some of our beliefs and assumptions about the Institute that sort of drive the way we shape it and what we do in the Institute. We believe that health is a human right. It also is a complex web of individual, institutional, social, and physical factors. There are assets and deficits, and when we focus simply on deficits, it's not very life-giving. But when we can focus on the assets that exist in communities, that is life-giving. I can get energized about coming to the work. We believe that transformation is possible and that alignment of the assets of both faith and public health have the potential to eliminate health disparities and to promote health equity. Inside our institute, we have some key elements. We recruit teams of individuals who have to have both faith and public health represented in their teams. And over the life of the institute, we have had 15 teams participate. Winnebago County, who you're going to hear from today, has been in our institute from the very beginning. Each team is assigned a mentor, and that mentor is to help to provide focus and guidance to the teams as they do their work. They come with a team project, some community concern they want to work on. This year we changed our focus to adopt some of Gantt's work, which is around the story of self, us, and now. Another key element is to have a weaver. The weaver sets the tone for each day and also is responsible for helping the group to connect across sessions and within session with the concepts that have been presented. We begin our sessions with a centering time, which is a time for people to really focus on what is present and to really release what they may have come through in order to get to the institute that day, and reflect on what the topic is. So we actually ask people to come not only with their minds, but with their minds, their hearts, and their souls to the institute. Presentations are a part of each of our sessions. We have 7 sessions now, 1 each month that's offered to our participants. And our presenters present from the perspective of public health. We have someone that's a public health professional and someone from faith who will present. And then we are careful to include a time of reflection, because often we move through material so quickly we don't have time to really sit and think and let it sink in. And so we're intentional about that. We pay attention to the environment that's created. What you see before you is something we call the wisdom tree. And what we ask individuals to do during reflection time, they each will have like colored leaves on the tables. We ask them to think about, you know, what is stirring within you? What new have you learned? What are you being called to? And so they write it down, and that becomes part of our space. This is just a look inside the institute at some of our teams as they are working, and we also use circle time because we want the institute in its design to reflect our principles. And so in circle, we don't have any big eyes or U's. We're all equal, and all are welcome to speak. Evaluation methods. We use satisfaction surveys, focus groups, a 3-month post-institute interview, participatory observation, and case study. And I would say our evaluation methods are, they've evolved each year. Our very first year, the pilot year, we were more focused on, is this structure workable, and what's the best way to work the structure? Year one, we allowed people to come as teams and individuals, and we learned that teams are the best way to bring people to this institute and experience. Mentors, external to the faculty, we tried using faculty inside. Ronnie was one of those experiences, but the faculty is so busy kind of working the institute because we do adaptations as we go along. We have a structure, but we try to be sensitive to who's in the space and take advantage of all the wisdom that's there. And so we now use people who are external to that process. We added additional presentation, one on collaboration, because that was something that our participants asked for. They didn't quite understand, they wanted not only collaboration, but language was important. So people of faith have one language, people of public health have another language, and often we're talking about the same thing. Diverse faith traditions is one of the things that we like to have in our space because we can learn not only that we have a lot in common, but we can learn from each tradition. And they ask for more group time. And some of our further findings in year 2 and year 3, and these are their perceptions, and so we're not doing what we call exact measures of pre and post testing around this, but there's an increased understanding of the perspectives and the language of faith in public health, the skill in identifying and aligning those assets. There's more confidence in facilitating collaborations between faith and public health, and the capacity to develop a collaborative community health improvement project were part of what people told us they learned. Our next steps is we're exploring funding opportunities. With the redesign of the existing funding, we're now at budget zero. And so we are looking for ways to continue our work and excited about some of the opportunities that exist. We're exploring new partners. We have decided that this year we will focus on mental health as an issue because that's a growing concern in our community as it is across the nation. And then we will, of course, have curriculum revisions to accommodate that. So next, the Rockford case.
Thank you, Shirley. My name is Kyle Lawman. I'm the Health Equity Officer for the Winnebago County Health Department. I know you're probably thinking that Health Equity Officer is kind of a unique title, and yes, it is. It's something that spawned from partially the Faith and Public Health Leadership Institute and a very forward-thinking former administrator. So just want to put that out there first and talk a little bit about our project in Rockford. As you've heard, this is we participated in the project for 3 years. Our first year, the group, I was not a part of that group, but they focused on food insecurity. The in our community. There are vast expanses in our community of food insecure areas, food deserts, if you will. And so there were no conversations 3 years ago happening in our community about food access, and now there are several organizations that are continuing to talk about that. So that's another outcome from this institute. In year two, I was a participant, and we created a project called Dare to Hope. We're asked at the beginning of every year to create a project or start thinking about what our project is going to be, all focused on health equity and social justice, keeping that in mind. And we also are asked to come up with a group name, and we call ourselves Breaking New Ground. And so really keeping with the theme of the tree, the wisdom tree, and growing and trying to change our community. So in year two, this is part of our initial presentation, or end project and presentation, and this is really representing how we thought the intersection of faith and public health exists. So we can measure hope and all the things that you see here, build relationships, increase self-esteem, grow personal values, and really I think we want to do all of these things both in public health and faith. So it's really more of an more than an intersection. It's really, to me, is becoming more one and the same. And so really learned a lot from the institute. So in the institute, we've heard from a gentleman by the name of Dr. Gary Gunderson. If you're not familiar with him, please look him up. I can't remember what his exact title is. I believe he's like the Dean of Faith and Health for Wake Forest University, something like that. But if you're not familiar with him, please look him up. And so Shirley had mentioned that we want to, in public health, we talk about morbidity, mortality, what's killing us, and we spend a lot of time looking at that. And he really challenges public health practitioners and people of faith even to look what brings life. I think in faith communities, we do that a lot better than we do in public health. But he really challenges us, and he talks about how difficult that really is. You can drive up to a community, you see the strife, you see the oppression, you see all the danger and violence and all that. That's easy to track. But to really see what's bringing life and what's the positive things is a lot harder, and it takes a lot more energy and effort. So he talks about five leading causes of life. He talks about agency. He talks about intergenerativity, the connectedness we have to our past. And so I think the faith piece really does that well. He talks about connection and coherence. The fifth one is hope. And so that's really what our rocker group spent a lot of time talking about. What brings hope? How can we instill hope in our community? How can we uplift people with a message of hope? And so we talked about, there were a lot of conversations that we had. What do we do to bring people together? We really titled our project, the idea of our project was, what is disbanding families in underserved areas or impoverished areas of the community? We see a lot of children running the streets. We have a lot of gang violence in our community. And so we thought that a lot of that has to do with people being connected with one another and having strong relationships, not only in the family, but with the community. And so we're looking at how can we really talk about that and bring people together. So hope is really by Gary Gunderson's definition, is the catalyst. And I've also looked into this further. Hope is the opposite of despair, and so that really worked out perfectly with our project. So the goal of Breaking New Ground was to develop a relatively simple intervention, which as more and more I think about it, it's not that simple. It turns out to be a very, very complex thing. But the idea at first was to sit down and have dinner with folks and create a relationship as a health department with people in our community, which is something I think that public health could do a better job at. We can really work on it. People come into our office for services all the time, or we offer flu clinics in the community, but we really don't connect with people. So how can we connect with people? We also wanted to get families eating together. We thought that the dinner table in many cultures and many communities, in most communities, the dinner table is a place of convening and a place to get together. So we talked about that a lot. And we wanted to make sure this was low budget so we could sustain this. We're looking at doing this for subsequent years. We've only done one project so far, but we've also created a project called Dare to Change, which is kind of the second phase of Dare to Hope, and talking about how people can be the change agent in their community It's one thing for us to stand up and advocate for policy change, system change, environmental change, but we think that it becomes a lot more powerful when people are advocating for themselves. So how do we get people to start advocating for themselves? And so Dare to Change is looking at doing that and creating that power within the community so people can have a grassroots movement, so to speak. So we want to, again, develop relationships and strengthen the faith and public health collaboration. So here we are eating with families. And just having a great time. As you can see, people are laughing. We asked people, the leaders asked if we could eat with people. We brought in leaders from the faith community, and each session, we had five different sessions. Each session, we talked about a different topic. So we talked about faith, we talked about hope, we talked about opportunity, we talked about collaborating in the community. And so here we are. We took the idea of the circle, so there's no hierarchy in a presentation. The gentleman that's standing up, he's actually a community activist, he's a poet, and he's also a part of the faith community, and he was our leader for this conversation. He's actually has some published, I'm getting the sign to stop here, so I'm going to really run through this. But this is Reverend Bird. He's from the Faith Center Church in Rockford. He was giving a presentation about faith, and so he had a really interesting and very powerful story. At the age of 16, he became addicted to drugs. He was given his first prostitute by his mother, and he started working the streets and selling drugs and pimping. He was actually in prison for 10 years, and he found himself on death row. He was on death row for 3 years, found God while he was on death row. While he found God, 6 months after he found God, 6 months later, he was released from prison, and he became a minister right after that. His major message is: you need to learn to have faith in yourself. When the power comes from having faith in yourself, having faith in people in your community, and that really strengthens your faith in God. And then vice versa, you need to have faith in God to internalize and have faith in yourself. Very, very powerful message. We prayed every time. We really had good dialogue in the after the sessions, and then we also gave everybody a certificate to hope, telling people that it's okay to have hope. We need to have hope in our community. We have to have some positive thinking, and that really is a quick and dirty part of our project. But we also just want to mention one last thing. We worked with another. We were looking for childcare services. And so we didn't want to leave out kids in all of this hope and great discussion. So we worked with a local nonprofit organization. We just asked that they provide child care for us at no cost. It turned out that they actually offered a genealogical studies project. And so the kids had to create basically like a book report about their family history. And that really fit well with the intergenerativity and the blessing piece of what we were doing. And we thought that it helped drive hope. So that's kind of the quick presentation of our project. But anyway, thank you.